Hey, welcome everyone. This is The Buzz, Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. We circle this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with the finest in broadcasting found anywhere around the globe. And now it's time for the Boomerang Radio Show with, I see Dr. Demery there. Shut on my camera there. I see Mad Mike. Hey, Mad. What's going on, brother?
Howdy, everyone.
Hey, what's happening, man? Hey, we're waiting for, you know how women are always late, yeah? So we're waiting for CeCe and Ann. So, you can tell them I said it if you want, because, you know, I like starting up. Dr. Demery would tell you, I love stirring up controversy. As a matter of fact, Mike, it reminds me of our Thursday show, Mad Mike and Wild Will, Coast to Coast, I was thought about. And I wanted to give us two new nicknames. And I don't know, you choose one.
Chaos. Heckle or Jekyll?
No, Chaos or Controversy. Which one?
I'm probably more Chaos than anything else.
Okay, yep, I agree with that. And I'm more Controversy. But man, we had a great show Thursday.
Yeah, we had a great show.
It was a great, oh. You know what I love about our, the way we're doing what we're doing? We also, are inviting, our listeners to send in requests. And to me, that is the most fun. Other than us, bringing on Dr. Demery, we bring on new artists that people haven't heard of before, they may never hear of before, and we give them a platform that they can showcase their talents. And we've had
They're very good. Not like you got Joey from down the street. You got some real talent coming on here that nobody knows about.
They don't know about it, but this is what we do, Mike. This is what we do. And I have so much fun doing it. And we get so much feedback. I mean, our audience is growing. And that's because we are allowing the audience to participate when they send it in, you know, their requests, if they're making comments. And I tell you, I get joy out of that. I really do. And Dr. Demery,
if we're growing, we must be doing something right. We're listening to our audience, and we're playing what they want to hear. And we're having chats with them in the chat line and all. And everyone's just having a good time.
Absolutely. Dr. Demery, talk on it a little bit, because we always talk about the last time you and I and Mike were on, you know what? Okay. I had some other stuff planned, but the last time the three of us were on, we were talking about the therapeutic value of music, and we were dissecting that to a point that maybe others do not realize the benefit that they are getting. Now, people love music. I dare ask, or dare say, do they know why they like music? Do they know that the value that music can give them, and or do they know the value or the negative value that some music plays in their lives? Oh boy. Hey, there's Ann. Hey, Ann.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, terrific. You don't have to change the title there. There's AJ and Alex there. That was from yesterday.
Oh.
Okay, you can go into, I can change it for you.
Or okay.
See, I volunteered myself. And so we were talking about, because I do have some other things I want to share. But the last time, the three of us were on, we had our show and we were talking about the therapeutic value of music and, okay, you know, what it does. And I know you and Andre are music lovers. And I found out from you, well, a while back, that Andre has a collection of his own, and he's a music aficionado. Okay, that's the right word. That's the right word. And so, no, I love Andre. You know, he's a cool cat, man. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about him earlier today, because he and I, we had a conversation last week. We were talking about, you know, what was coming up, if you guys were coming on. And Andre, from the very beginning, when I first spoke to him, he's smooth, Mike, Dr. Demery. He's a smooth cat. And see, he said, well, hello, sir. I say, well, look, I like this guy already. I like him already. But he's always a gentleman. You know,
yeah, he is.
He's just, always just a gentleman. Him. And, yeah, you know, and Mike and Dr. Demery and Ann, you know, the way you carry yourself in life is the way people would accept and appreciate you.
Right.
You know, because I have very few problems anywhere I go because I always treat people with respect.
Amen. Amen.
And that is vitally important. When I met Mike, believe it or not, with all his shenanigans, he was quite the gentleman. He was quite the
Notice he used the term was.
Oh, you picked up on that.
I guess since then you've got to see the real Mike.
You know what? And the real Mike, I wouldn't change a thing. He's my friend. And he and I, we just love, I think we love jabbing each other, right? We love that. We have a great time doing it. We were talking about our show on last Thursday. And the thing that I loved about it was that we had the audience engaged because we invited people to call in or text me rather and us, whatever request they had. And that gives the audience a chance to feel like they're involved. They're not just listeners, but they're part of the program, which they are. And I just got a thrill on that. My sister-in-law, oh, I love her. Carolyn, if you're listening right now, she does, a routine every day, I suppose, you know, to burn off calories. I forgot exactly what that's called. And she has a goal that she wants to reach each and every day. And she texts me back and says, oh, you helping me reach my goal here. Okay. Cause she was up dancing and things like that. And, also, she texts me later. She says something about she was going to have to get some Bengay.
Yeah, you went a little too far, huh?
And you know, I texted back. I said, don't worry, you'll be okay. You'll be okay.
Right. That soreness will be all right. It's a good sign.
Absolutely. But Dr. Demery, I want you to chime in too, because, this is what I had planned on speaking on, but I knew Ann was having a few technical problems, right? And so I said, okay, if the three of us, are on just solo, I mean, together, the three of us, then I might just change it all up and just get into the therapeutic value of music. And so I'm going to just take a little bit. That's not our main topic. But Dr. Demery, I want you to chime in a little bit because we mentioned earlier, a lot of us love music, but we don't know why. We don't know what the benefits are or what it does to us. Conversely, we don't know when we listen to certain types of music that it also has a destructive or a negative value. I think I'm going to leave it like that, a negative value. You know, like you go to, you write a check and it bounces.
<Uh-oh>.
Okay.
<Uh-oh>.
You listen to some of this music.
Who that writing bouncing checks?
People do it every day. That's how banks get all their extra money. Okay. I'm just saying. You can't go and make a withdrawal if there's nothing there.
Right.
Okay, but Dr. Demery, just kind of talk about this a little bit because we mentioned it over and over and over again, and you know something about this firsthand because you visited.
Well, there's several places you can launch this discussion about music because we know now also in terms of the healing factors that are involved in music. There are musicologists and music therapists that are used in nursing homes and used in hospitals and places of healing to provide therapeutic nurturing to people, just like there is aromatherapists. And the point is that the reason why it is effective is because it affects our senses. Music is... first of all, you know, it enters the hearing, which is one of our five senses. And some people think there's more than five senses, which, you know, I tend to agree with to a certain extent. But the five main ones, you know, one of them, which being hearing, and then for aromatherapy, smell. And we know that eucalyptus, if you put it in an infuser or a diffuser, it will cause calming. And people that have headaches and whatnot, will use aromatherapy to calm themselves out. And then also we know music also acts on one of our senses. It's not one of the natural ones, one of the main five ones, and that is our rhythm in our body, because some people will state that our body is tuned to rhythm and tune, you know, in tune with the sound. So just like some things in life that you ingest or consume or insume, it has a negative effect. So as much as things can be very positive and be very therapeutic and can be very damaging if it's used in the wrong way or used destructively. So, I mean, let's just look. Obviously, one of the things, you know, I'm trained as a theologian. We know how important music is in the church. Churches spend millions of dollars on their, I was at this one church in my denomination, the Long Beach UCC Church. They spent $1 million repairing their organ. They have a massive, beautiful pipe organ.
That's a lot of money.
They have some repairs done to it because it was an old organ. And, you know, that is a major investment for any church, even a church of that size. And, for example, when I used to work at West Angeles Church of God in Christ, this was before Charles Blake was the presiding bishop, the presiding elder in the Church of God in Christ. Their music ministry, just the music ministry now, which gives you an idea of the church, but to show you how significant it was, their music ministry had $1 million budget.
Wow. That's a lot.
So music is very important in the church, and we know that it can be very vital and very important, but you also have to be very careful because you don't want worship to become entertainment.
Yes, that's it right there.
You know, it becomes, it can become very destructive, and we know that one of the chief musicians in heaven was Lucifer. Lucifer was a musician. He took one-third of the angels in heaven with him when he fell. So there is that positive side to music, but there's also that negative and destructive side if you're not careful. So you want music to be enhancing to the greater part of the worship service, and all of it obviously has to lead around the word, you know, the logos, which is the expounding on the word, and to be able to, you know, enhance one of the major theological exposés that you learn in seminary is homiletics. And homiletics is the art of preaching. So I that's just an introduction into it, William. So, I mean, music is very important. There's, like I said, people go to school and get degrees and certificates in musicology and music therapy, because music therapy is very important. I mean, I like listening to all kinds of music. And some of my most calming, salvific moments are when I'm listening to some good music. But as you know, William and Mike, as you guys do the show, it can be very destructive because there's a lot of music out there that we probably would not call it music. a wide swath of what's called music on both ends of the spectrum, in the alpha and the omega. But it can be very destructive depending on, you know, your point of view. So that's my intro into it.
Right. And you mentioned a word, and you mentioned it last week, too. Is it homiletics?
No,
homiletics.
Homiletics is
the homiletics.
Yeah.
Spell it for us, please. Spell it for the audience.
Every seminarian has to take, well, I would hope if they go to an accredited homiletics, which is the art and the study of preaching. You know, some people still preach the old three-point sermon, and some people learn expository preaching and whatnot. So there's varying aspects of preaching that you learn the art of preaching. And, you know, like we just said, you have to be very careful because when preaching becomes entertainment, which for some it has been, it becomes very destructive, and people go to church for entertainment.
Yes.
And salvation or salvific thing. So, but homiletics is the art and the study of preaching, and every seminarian has to take a class in homiletics.
That is absolutely fascinating. And thank you so much for that, for that spelling of it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And I want to, and I'm going to come to you after I go to Mike, because Mike mentioned something else, which ties in, and it's a different, not a different perspective, but I think it kind of blends in with what we're talking about. And Mike, you also talked about, the frequency and how the frequency of what we're hearing affects us, the tone, whatever we hear. Like, for instance, it was
Stop. Don't do that. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Don't do that again.
Okay. I even forgot the genre that we talked about. What was
about rock and roll, hard
No, not that. Rock and roll. It was called, what is it called, Mike?
Well, you had acid rock.
Ah!
Yeah.
You had, and something else.
Dan mentioned, or, excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. Yeah, you had acid rock and you had hard metal.
Oh, yeah. Heavy metal.
Heavy metal.
Oh, my God. Mm. I lost, well, he wasn't a friend anyway. This guy, if we're going back to when I first started the station, very talented guitarist. Okay, I'm not going to call his name. And we had agreed that what we wanted to do, we wanted to play some Spanish and salsa music, upbeat dance kind of music type thing. And he tried to throw me a curveball, and he wanted to come in with heavy metal. And he kept, I said, no, no, no. He said, well, listen to this. I said, no. Okay, well, give me a call his name. I said, no, no, no. I said this about 5 times and got very quiet. And he said, hey, you're not William that I know. I said, and I use a few expletives. I said, because you weren't listening. You know, come on. I'm not doing that. You know, to me, I found that music harmful because of the vibe. Mike, I want you to talk about the frequencies that I was experiencing there. And to me, it wasn't healthy for me. And I wasn't going to put if I didn't feel it was healthy for me, I don't care about this popularity. I was not going to do that to my audience. Mike, I want your take right now, bro.
I've got that. But I want to back up just a hair because we're talking about what benefits us as human beings, what gives the feel good, what releases the endorphins in our brain, which stuff that's healthy for you. And two of those things, I'm going to back up to last night or all day yesterday, the American Legion out in Rialto on Lilac. And I know, William knows where that's at. They do, once a year, they do a comedy show where last night they had 5 different comedians on. And one of the gentlemen that I met there for the first time, he was having a hard day mentally. Really nice gentleman. Glad I got to meet him. And he confided in me. He was having a tough day. By the time he left that hall yesterday, he was laughing. He gave me a big hug. And it was the comedy. So I think comedy and music play 2 vital roles in our happiness. And I know that around the world, it's not just here in America, but everywhere in the world since time has begun, since man has stood upright, music has always been part of that. So that having been said, that music and laughter are really good for us, I'm going to get into the frequency side that William asked me to do. And Dr. Demery can back me up on a little bit of what I'm going to talk about here. There's something in your nervous system. It's the longest nerve in your body. It's called the vagus nerve. And I'm going to read a little something here, so forgive me for reading, but it's the best way to put it. It says, one way to activate the vagus nerve is through slow, deep belly breathing. Focus on the breath, on your breath shifts your focus away from stressful mind chatter and toward the rhythm of breath. Do this. It's breathe through your nose for a count of 6 and out through your mouth for a count of 8. So that's one way to stimulate. The other way to stimulate the vagus nerve is through sound. And if one of the ways that I reduce my blood pressure when I know it's up is you hum. You hum to yourself. You feel the vibrations in your ears. It stimulates that vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is from the stem of your brain all the way down to about your groin. So it's, again, it's the longest nerve in your body, and that's one of the ways you can stimulate it is through, you can put music on, headphones on. There's certain rhythmic sounds that you can play that stimulate this vagus nerve.
Is it vagus? Mike, I hate to interrupt. Is it called vagus nerve? How do you spell it?
V-A-G-U-S.
V-A-G-U-S.
Okay. Vagus.
Okay.
It's like Las Vegas.
Okay, good, great. Hey, Brother Danny. Hey, how are you? All right.
Hey.
All right. I'm going to let Mike catch you up and continue his conversation. And then let's go to you and let's go to Ann. And check the private chat.
Hello there.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Danny. Thanks again for what you did for me the about a month and a half ago. I really appreciate that. I haven't forgotten. They're still talking about it. So back to this vagus nerve, again, it can be stimulated through certain sound waves. And again, you can do it yourself by just humming or putting on headphones or just listening to music. You don't have to put on headphones, but the headphones seem to work better because it stimulates the vibrations in your skull a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So that vagus nerve can be soothed or it can be abrased, I guess would be the best way to put it. You can irritate it. Mm-hmm. And sound vibrations can be used in that way. They're around the world, they use different vibrations to control crowds. Mm-hmm. in a protective way. So they have devices that emit certain sounds that are that can make you dizzy, can make you vomit. There's one sound wave, they call it the brown wave. I think I've talked about this before on the Boomerang. They call it the brown wave because if you get in the focus of this particular device that creates this brown wave, the military uses it and such, it will make you evacuate your bowels. So they call it
the
brown
wave.
So, and I'm sure Dr. Demery's aware of this. Also, the breathing that I was talking about earlier with the vagus nerve, it's called box breathing, but it's because there's four sides to it. There's the breathe in, then you hold that breath, then you expel that breath completely, and you hold again before you start breathing in. So there's four sides to box breathing, and Dr. Demery will know this as tactical breathing. Because it's used in law enforcement. When you're all excited and you have to run after somebody and you have to calm yourself down, you use tactical breathing. Or if you have to run in and shoot a rifle or something and focus on the sights and you're all shaking from adrenaline, you use tactical breathing to bring yourself down. Military uses it as well. So I'd like, if you'll allow me, William, I want to pass it back to Dr. Demery for just a second and get his opinion.
Go ahead. Can't hear you, Dr. Demery. Can't hear you, Reverend Demery.
What Mike is saying is so true. The military uses devices now that will emit certain frequencies that will control the crowds or control potential riot situations. I can't remember what the device is called, but it will send out these waves of sound, and it can actually be so irritating if it crosses your path, if they want to the other way, which is, you know, another deterrent to crowd control and all of that kind of stuff, better than using gas and everything else. So there's things, I mean, they used it in Iraq, and certain police departments even now use it in crowd control and to, you know, abate certain kinds of potential dangerous situations. So, yeah, and I have been, unfortunately, on the down end of that, and it is very irritating. I mean, I can't even describe to you how horrible that is to have that sound pass through you. I mean, it in different people, it causes different types of negativity. Some it can cause headaches, and like Mike said, it can cause vomiting, it can cause headaches, and all kinds of horrible physical attributes. And they use it. I mean, and the military uses it, law enforcement uses it, and I'm telling you, it is very effective. I mean, I'd rather get doused with tear gas rather than, you know, have that thing effectively work. I mean, it probably works better than a taser gun. I don't know.
Well, it's not surprising, because when you read the Bible, it's amazing how God just calls your heart and your mind the same thing interchangeably. Your heart, even though we know our heart physically is, you know, the thing that pumps blood, you know, to the rest of the body. But when the Bible talks about heart, it talks about your heart as well as your mind, and those two mean the same thing. As a matter of fact, it says in one verse of the Bible, be changed by the renewing of the spirit of your mind. So that vagus nerve that Mike is talking about kind of is just science catching up to what God's already told us. It's basically a nerve that connects, or rather sends the signals between your brain, your heart, and your digestive system. So now scientists are at the point where they're actually saying we've got two brains instead of one. They like to call the stomach the second brain, because a lot of what takes place happens in your gut before it gets to your head. For example, serotonin, which is that feel-good hormone that helps to regulate your mood, actually starts in your stomach and then travels up to your brain. So it's not a big surprise to me, given what the Bible has been teaching us. Another thing about music, I think that the Bible makes very clear, is how powerful words are. And basically when you're singing, humming or whatever, basically it's just you using words in a lyrical or musical form. To give you an idea of how powerful that is, you've got several parts in the Bible that explain to you how God used words. As a matter of fact, in the book of John, it says, in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that was how Jesus was known before he took on flesh and became Emmanuel, God with us. He was known as the Word of God. And it explains to us just how powerful what we say really is, because the words that you speak are a part of you. So, you know, people are like, well, I'm sorry I said that. I wish I can take it back. But you have just given a part of yourself whenever you speak these particular words out of your mouth. And it's the same thing with singing. If you listen to somebody sing, it can touch your spirit in such a way. When they are singing from their heart or from their spirit. And if they're not, that can touch you in a different way too, because you can hear somebody who's doing everything technically right, but you can tell their heart isn't in it. And so the song doesn't reach you. It doesn't penetrate the way that it should. And this can go in a good way or it can go in a bad way, as Reverend Demery pointed out. Satan was the chief musician in heaven, and obviously he let his gifting along with everything else be used in a way that was detrimental, not just to himself, but to his fellow angels who in heaven at that time, as well as the all of mankind who's come afterwards and been victims, so to speak, to his shenanigans here on earth and involving all of us. So I think music, whether we're talking about us singing it or us playing it, is a vital part of who we are as people, who we are as God's creation. And that's why it's so powerful. But that's just me.
Okay. Turn on my mic here. Yes, and that's what a great segue. Brother Danny Tisdale, welcome to the set, my brother. Because now we're getting right into your wheelhouse. There's so many things that have been said, about music, the science, the benefits of music, and conversely, the negative value, and I'm going to use that word again, negative value of certain types of music. And Ann says something profound, and that is you as a singer, and I'm sure you can appreciate that. When you up singing, I want you to talk about this a little bit, the therapeutic value of music and being able to sing and knowing you as a singer. There's a certain feeling when you get up and you sing a song. And I've witnessed you several, when I say several, I'm talking about a whole bunch of occasions, and I've seen you sing. And I see how you are, seem like you are in a zone, so to speak. Yeah. And you're connecting with that audience. It's a lot to get up there because a lot of people can carry a tune. But are they connecting? Are they feeling? I'm going to step aside. I want you to expound on that, please, brother.
Well, if I expound in a way that, you know, when we sing in the environment before the body of Christ.
Come on, brother.
In church, you know, we are, when we go to church on Sundays, we should be prepared when we walk in that building.
Amen.
Individual to give praise unto the Almighty God. And Amen. He wants it in songs and psalms, mm-hmm. hymns, and all different manners. But every note, every word that's sung is giving praise unto Him. That's what should be happening. Now, sometimes too many of us walk into the building with the wrong things sitting on our shoulders.
Amen.
You get prepared before you get there mm-hmm. so you can give praise. Now, going to what you're talking about, when I get an opportunity to be a witness and a testimony and song to the people of God, to the congregation, no matter if it's 5 people, 10 people, a one person. If I'm doing witness and I'm using a song that really resonates with my spirit, then it's easy for me to articulate the words because I believe what I'm singing about.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You can't really be effective, and the anointing will not come over you if you don't understand what you're singing about.
Amen.
Don't line up with what God's scripture is talking about.
Amen.
So when I sing such songs as Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Yes.
These things mean something to me because I realize without Him, I would be nothing.
Amen.
I would be just a whole tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass about nothing if I didn't have something within my spirit. Mm-hmm. And as Sister Ann was just talking about, your mind and your heart, mm-hmm. they got to be in a certain syncopation.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And understanding what you're doing when you go before the people in verbal testimony or verbal singing. A verbal worship and praise.
Amen.
Your heart Amen. Has to be hooked up to connect it to the right spirit.
That's mm-hmm. right.
So you know, many, I've seen people get up and sing that may not have the greatest of voices.
But they touch you.
They spirit
mm-hmm. Come on.
Is in the right place. I don't care, even them off notes.
right.
Still register. You know what I mean? Because the sincerity of the one that's doing the witnessing mm-hmm. is readily seen and felt and connected to other spirits that
Amen.
Are living, you know?
Amen.
So that's kind of, you know, Sister Ann, she laid that thing out really well in what she just said.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Because your heart got to be right.
Amen. Now,
a lot of people get up and try to mimic what they've heard somebody do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same thing.
Nope.
You can learn the song. You get an idea of how to present the song. But sometimes you have to make it your own.
That's yes. right.
That's when people really get blessed.
That's right, brother.
Personal something coming from you.
Mm-hmm. Brother Tenzio, I have to jump in right here because you're 1,000% correct. And even, like you said, if there's conviction in their singing, even the off note, sometimes you can appreciate because you know where their heart is.
You know where
right.
their heart
is. You also have people that can sing the right notes, but you can tell their heart is not in the song. Mm-hmm.
You can't feel nothing they talking about.
Right.
Exactly right. And so that's why, like I said, that's why I wanted to get into the science of this because Sister Ann, I was listening. I did a sound check. Mike, I did a sound check. Okay. And, one thing that came up was breathing. Mm-hmm. And Brother Danny, before you go, I want you to talk about that too, because we had a show on this network with Brother Dansby Sturdivant. Now, if you guys don't know Dansby yes. is very much connected with GMA, the Gospel Music Workshop of America. As a matter of fact, I think he is an ambassador here on the West Coast, rather, you know, and he has some songs that he has performed with GMA. And we used to do a program that would teach people how to sing. And one major, major, major thing that he said, if you're going to sing, you need to learn how to breathe.
Amen.
And Mike brought it up earlier too. And I remember, it's a motivational speaker. Tony Robinson. And he was talking, he came up with this, thing about, it's a couple of decades ago and I listened to it. And he was talking about breathing. And he was talking about a breathe in for 7 seconds. Holding it for 14 seconds. That's similar to what you're saying, Mike. Okay, hold it. And just breathe out for 28 seconds. And folks, I'm going to tell you what. And do it 10 times in a row. Okay? That is an exercise, folks. And if you do it daily, it does improve your tonality. It improves your breathing. Okay? And also, it is healthy to do that, to learn, because you are eliminating a lot of toxins that's in your body that would not have ordinarily been have been released. So there is, it is a healthy thing. Brother Danny, I want you to talk about that a little bit. About perhaps when you, because I know, and the audience know, that you are an amazing singer. What types of things do you do to prepare?
I probably don't spend as much time as I need to because the vocal cord is like a muscle.
Ooh.
So your breathing, as Dr. Sturdivant teaches in a lot of his ways that he do, because he'll have you doing nursery rhymes just to warm your vocals up.
He does.
Somebody will be saying, Mary had a little lamb, and all these little nursery rhymes. He'll have people doing different things all at the same time. Well, all it's doing is exercising your muscles. So we got to be careful of what we put into our body also, because it can have an effect on our vocal projections because of the mucus and all these different things that can be in your vocal cords. You know, I sang this morning. I had a good morning this morning. I woke up, I irrigated and got as many of the unwanted things out of my sinus passages as I could. I used the Navage. A lot of people don't want to use these things. They don't irrigate and get a lot of the unwanted toxins out of their sinus passages. And they lay down at night with the heads back, and this stuff affects your vocal vocals. Mm-hmm. That's your sinuses, you know, mm-hmm. and it creates mucus. So this morning, I took out time. I did a good irrigation. And then I'll take some Flonase, or I may just take simple saline, and I will irrigate my whole passages mm-hmm. and clear my throat, and then drink plenty of water. Water has a lot of things to do, but the breathing exercises are very important.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do sustained notes, like an operatic singer, someone like that, man, they can really breathe. They know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I don't all the time take the time out. They have a little thing that you can suck in on. And it's a little thing that has a meter on it. I forgot what they call it, but people that suffer from emphysema uses these apparatuses. I can't think of it.
Come in an oxygen tank?
No, the one.
Oh, no, hand.
he said COPD.
Yeah, you suck in on it, and this little thing, this 2000
inhaler, the inhalers.
You just be sucking in, and then you just hold it as long as you can. Just like he was saying, Mike was talking about.
Okay.
And
okay.
It increases your lung capacity.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is. Okay, hey Danny, let's go back to that. Is that a little device that you can buy that measures?
How many? They got it in so many 2,000 milli, whatever it is. When you suck in on this thing,
right?
In inches of mercury, I think is what he's talking about. Inches mm-hmm. of mercury.
Is that the device, Mike?
Yeah, it's a device it's a measurement device. It's okay. Using a yardstick or a ruler, and the measurement is vacuum. Vacuum is measured in inches of mercury. And what it does is as you're sucking in, it measures the strength of your suction.
Wow.
So go ahead.
What's the name of that device? I want to write this down. Let's look it up. We'll look it up throughout the program. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do it right now, Danny. But let's look this up because this is all fascinating. Just like you had mentioned before about certain things that Mike and Danny and Dr. Demery, these things are vitally important. And not only whether you're a singer or not, I think to anybody that's walking the face of Earth, breathing is important.
Yeah,
I think that. I think
don't believe it. Just stop.
And you don't have to be a singer or anything like that. But I know that it can attribute, you know, to you being a healthier and perhaps it's not my predictor. God is predictor of a longer life, but at least a healthier life.
So William, I think what Danny was talking about, the irrigation and stuff, uh-huh. I think you could benefit from that, but I think it'd be from the other end.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike, I'm not going to even ask
Mike, this is not the Mad Mike and Wild Wheel Coast to Coast Show.
Thursday night?
No, it's not Thursday night.
I'm not going there.
But when you say irrigate, I think that Brother Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, you talk about you drinking plenty of water, and you are really flushing out some toxins through irrigation is using water. And along with that, let me ask you a question. Is lemon for a singer, is that important? Is that a useful?
I think the acidity that's within the lemon and certain fruits and different other things like elderberry, you know, it helps to eradicate the unwanted toxins from your system and then your lungs and out your sinus passages and your throat and all of that.
Okay.
These things help out, but the irrigation I'm speaking to is they have what they call a neti pot. They have the neti pot. They have another tool that's run off of batteries. They call the Navage system. And what it does, it flushes warm saline treated warm water.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use these little pods that you put in the lodge that breaks down the normal tap water.
Okay.
It takes those things and sells them out where when you get ready to put it into your nose, because if you take this tap water and try to run it through your nose, it's pretty harsh.
Oh.
But with a neti pot, they give you these little packets, saline packets.
Okay.
And then with the Navage, they give you these little salt pillars, they call them, that you put in a certain amount of water, you fill the Navage unit up, and you put one of these little pillow pads in there, and you bust it open. It goes in there, you let it sit for a few minutes, you shake it up, then you stick it in your nose, and it actually forces water, this saline clean treated water from one side of your sinus passage up and out the other.
Wow.
And you do it on both sides. Now, a lot of people say they can't stand it because they feel like they're drowning.
So they being waterboarded when they do it.
It mostly feels that way to people that really haven't mastered the art of learning how to swim.
Ooh.
Because to people that swim, and if you go underwater, you're going to have to hold your breath for a length of time, right?
That's right.
So, you know, I don't know how they say, well, I feel like I'm drowning if they never felt what drowning feels like.
But
it's questionable why a lot of people say that.
Right.
They say, if they think I'm drowning, well, then that makes me think, okay, maybe you had a bad experience in the water, but that ain't what I feel. What I feel is relief after that forced saline warm water goes up one side and comes out the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, switch sides and it goes up this side and come out that side. And that cleans all this stuff out of you.
Oh, head. Man. And you know, what is that device called again? I want to.
Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E.
N-A. V-A-Z-E?
Yeah, N-A-V-A, like in Victor, N-A-Victor, A-G-E.
A-G-E, okay.
Yeah, Navage.
This is really, really, really good stuff.
So to a lot of smokers, they don't realize the unwanted toxins that they enter through just smoking.
Yeah.
But when you use one of these things, it gets a lot of that stuff out of you.
Oh boy, I think that is good information to know. You know.
But the better thing is not to smoke.
Yeah, I understand that.
There it is, right there. But
yeah, that is, I couldn't agree with you more. But if you do, this might help you out a lot. Oh wow, Dr. Demery, jump in here. What do you got to say?
Well, I would think that, you know, when I have heard Danny sing and others that have, you know, the talent that he has, the ones that are most effective are the ones that, and I know some people are going to be offended by what I'm about ready to say. And I
don't know. Uh-oh. Here you go.
He a preacher. That's what, look, that's what he do.
It's singing in the spirit. When people sing in the spirit, and I say that because some people, you know, talk about the Holy Ghost. I mean, that is the worst usage of the Greek language. There's no such thing as the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. The word is agio pneuma, and pneuma is the Greek word for spirit of God. And so when you are singing in the spirit, not the Holy Ghost and all that kind of stuff, but when you're singing in the spirit, that's when it's the most effective, and that's when yokes are broken.
Amen.
And that's when, you know, people are transformed, and that's the groups that are the most effective, I think. Like Danny said, they may not be the most musically talented. They may
Come
not
on.
Be the powerful in their instrumentation and all that kind of stuff, but it's the spirit that they bring.
Yes. And
same thing with preaching. You know, we talked about homiletics earlier. There's some preachers that are very good orators. They're very good at, you know, fulfilling that text that says the foolishness of preaching. And so those who are in the spirit are the most effective ones. That's why, you know, in the tradition of the church, at least from the South anyway, those preachers that never had any education, never had any formal training, were the most effective preachers because they preached in the spirit.
Right.
Preachers that went to, you know, high class schools and higher education institutions were I think good preachers, but they were not effective preachers that could break people's yoke and get people transformed by the power of, like Anne was talking about, the logos, which is a Greek word for the word, you know, because that was the same word that was used, like Anne was talking about, NRK, Hiho Logos, Kaiho Logos, Proston Theon. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's John.
Amen.
And it's the same word from Hebrew, in the beginning when God created the earth.
Amen. So
it's the same process from the Septuagint translated from Hebrew into the Greek.
Amen.
Wow. You know, Dr. Dimon, what I appreciate about you, and Mike, you can take over right after this, is that you bring a lot of information and education, and knowing that you speak so many different languages, but you are able to bring across this airwaves and educate the audience. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you, my brother. Can't tell you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, it's like this morning when I preached. I mean, I preach every Sunday. And if you can effectively divide the word and exegete and do good exegesis and do good hermeneutics, but if you're not in the spirit, you're just up speaking. You know, you're just
right.
Words. But when you are effectively using the power of the Holy Spirit, that's where people get transformed, and that's where I believe the most effective preaching occurs, is that preacher whereby he or she can transform the renewing of the mind, like Anne used that text. And that's where people who are in transition in, you know, the issue of being in crisis, or whatever that may be, through a death, through, you know, a major traumatic event, what allows them to find soothing passages is by the spirit that breaks through all of that human condition. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that's probably not, you know, as popular nowadays. People want to go grab some technical device and all that kind of stuff. And some of them are effective. But I mean, even in parapsychology, I mean, they're finding that those who are spiritually motivated are some of the ones that are the most effective. And if you want to go pay somebody $200 an hour and pay a therapist, that you can do that. But where it's most effective is when the spirit is entered into the healing process.
Absolutely. And see, right here, you don't have to pay anybody $200 an hour. And I'm going to throw a little commercial in here, Mike. Just listen to us.
$19.95 a month to be a boomerang member.
Money back guarantee.
$19.95 a month.
$19.95.
You can be a boomerang.
As a matter of fact, you can subscribe to our brand new. Hey, did you guys know we have a brand new YouTube channel?
Awesome.
Yes, we do.
Awesome.
And we're not playing music on that channel right now, but we're doing shows just like, or programs just like this, the Boomerang Radio Show, the Eden as an Act of Worship Ministries Radio All Show right. will be on. Absolutely. Okay. We have to check on copyright issues, even though we're a member of, Mike, we're a member of ASCAP. But you know, okay, we'll make that connection, because YouTube and Facebook, they don't know that yet, and I keep telling them, guys, leave us alone. Okay. But anyway, but the thing about it is, this is amazing. Is it $19.95 a month, Mike?
Well, you know, it's normally $29.95 a month, but for today and today only, you can be a boomeranger for just a pittance a day. It's less than 50 cents a day, people. $19.95, money well spent. Telling you what.
And wait, if you act now, we'll throw in a free boomerang t-shirt. Yeah.
And hold up. I got to get them made first. I got to get them made.
We are kidding. Please.
No.
Please.
We don't. Actually not. Let me get them made.
Okay, Louis. I gave the disclaimer. You heard the man.
That's right. Let's get them made first. But Mike, guess what? We are not talking about anything that I had advertised. And that's okay. And you know, how often does that happen that we put out, say, oh, we'll talk about this, we're going to talk about politics or what environment, global warming, whatever it is. And at the last second, we change this topic. And so, but I'm glad that we did this because music, sound, frequency, guys, if you think about how that impacts your life or not, think about this, because everything that you do has to do with sound, whether it's music, turn on a TV show. First thing, they start off with some type of sound, some type of music or whatever it is, right? Have you ever been to a movie that didn't have a soundtrack?
Oh, my gosh, stop.
No.
You wish it didn't have a soundtrack. Like, dude, what is this noise?
I remember, and you guys, except for you, and you were, I don't even know where you were born, or not, at least you were a baby. There was a... They did an experiment.
Don't be sucking up to Judge Ann. He's trying to schmooze you.
No. Seriously about this, though. Hey, Mike, once I finish what I'm about to say, you're going to agree. Do you guys, Dr. Demery and Danny, there was a football game one time that was televised. They had no music and no announcers. Mm. They just played the game. It was the most boring thing that I ever witnessed in my life. There was nothing to stimulate you or whatever it is. And going back to what something I believe Dr. Demery said, churches on Sundays. Mm. When you go in there, the first thing that's going, the choir is going to sing. And Danny, you guys and Dr. Demery and Ann and Mike, you guys know what I'm telling you is the truth. And I don't mean to minimize this at all. But that choir is a warm-up before that pastor gets on because it's trying to generate a certain
atmosphere.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Before the pastor starts preaching. Okay?
And well, my problem is this, William. And
Go and talk about it. Please talk about it.
I believe wholeheartedly that the choir is